are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. And thanks for making Locked On Brewers your first listen every day. We post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and we are free and available on all platforms. And as always, I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I am covering the game of baseball. Also joining me is my co-host, Vinny Rattino. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Rattino. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. Last week, after the NLDS, the season was ended in the NLDS for the Milwaukee Brewers. We started going back, looking at the reviewing the season as a whole. And I told you on Monday, we were going to give you our end of season awards. So that's what we'll be doing on today's episode, giving you our MVP, Cy Young, all of that for the Milwaukee Brewers in the 2021 season. Before we do all that, though, let me tell you about our friends at DirecTV. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, so we're going to get into some end of season awards for the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll start with the two biggest awards in MVP and Cy Young. And we'll start with the MVP first. And I really think this is a no-brainer, but we'll see if Vinny disagrees with me here. But the season really turned around with the trade of Willy Adames. I think he was clearly the MVP for the Brewers this season, hit or slash 285, 345, 445 with an 886 OPS. Had 20 home runs, 61 runs scored, 58 RBI, 4 stolen bases, and 99 games with the Brewers. Also played exceptional defense, but when you know, there's always a debate of, is the MVP for the best player or is it for the most valuable player? For me, I've always considered to be the most valuable player. I mean, the word valuable is in the name of the award. And Vinny, for me, there was nobody more valuable, at least on the offensive side of things, you know, in terms of what Adames did in the field, what he did at the plate, and what he did in that clubhouse for the Brewers in 2021.
And who else would be a better performer than him anyway?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he wins on both accords, right? I agree 100% it's Willy Adames. I guess you could almost point to, someone on the pitching side. Every once in a while, you do get a pitcher that wins the MVP award for the league. I know we're not discussing the league. Yeah, right now.
I don't believe in that either. You got a pitcher award. For me, the MVP is a poor hitter.
Yeah, I'm in that same camp. I mean, unless it's a guy that just totally breaks every single record book and pitches on 2 days rest for, you know, the entire last month and a half of the season or something like that. Willy Adames for me is the MVP of the team. Not only his offensive and defensive performances, and we've talked about this all year long, is his ability to kind of lead that team and kind of change the makeup of the of that infield defense, right? And just, again, the energy he brought, the leadership he brought to an already strong leadership and good core culture team. He brought a lot of it extra of that as well. So 100% Willy Adames MVP.
Yeah, I mean, if you talk about, you know, who's really runner-up, and I know you're not going to like this one, but Avisel Garcia had the second highest OPS of any of the regulars at 820 this year. So I mean, maybe we should have known a little bit more about the offensive struggles for this team going into the postseason. But I mean, they had a lot of good hitters, and you talked about this going into the postseason, so we won't really get into it. But they didn't have that lineup staple without Christian Yelich. You know, they didn't have that lineup staple in the middle. They had really good hitters up and down, but nobody to really carry an offense. But we won't go down that role. Just want to point out, you know, that really beyond Willy Adames, as far as offensive performers, I mean, like I said, Avisel Garcia is probably next in line with the 820 OPS and leading the team with 29 home runs. But again, I think Adames is clearly the MVP of the team this year. And the Cy Young is pretty obvious too, but in a normal season on a normal team, you probably could have had three or four different other Cy Young winners. But I mean, I think Corbin Burns is going to win the NL Cy Young, so it'd be hard for him not to be the Cy Young for his own team. But he had some stiff competition, Vinny. But Corbin Burns, 2.43 ERA, 0.94 WHIP, 234 strikeouts to just 34 walks and 167 innings pitched across 28 starts. Again, Vinny, some really stiff competition. Woodruff and Peralta, or maybe even Hader, probably win the Cy Young on other teams, but got to give it to Corbin Burns here.
Yeah, it's Corbin Burns. I mean, the stuff is so wipeout nasty. I mean, the ability, and we talked about this as well, the ability to learn how to command all five of his pitches has been pretty remarkable. The most remarkable thing is that backdoor cutter, that front door cutter, basically to the arm side of the plate. He'd start it off of the plate and then run it back over either the inside edge or the outside edge, inside edge to a righty, outside edge to a lefty. That was a game changer for me. Just his ability to kind of dominate left-handed hitters as well. And then he paired that with a sharp, nasty breaking ball, curveball, kind of an 11-5 shape to it, a little tilt to it. He was just absolutely filthy. I mean, he's only going to get better as well. He's developing that changeup that at times was like the best changeup in baseball. He didn't flash that quality of a changeup, that type of quality of a changeup all year long, but he did flash at times, and that's only going to get better. He's just really kind of honed in on what he needs to do to be consistent with that delivery. I know Chris Hook has really helped that kid. I mean, maybe Chris Hook is the MVP of the team, but at the end of the day, Burns put in the work and Burns executed all the pitches night in, night out. I think he had like one or two kind of dud outings. Other than that, he was totally dominant every other start of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I heard you say it here. I think I've heard you say it before, though. Is he your NL Cy Young winner?
Yeah, he is. He definitely is my NL Cy Young award winner. Who did we pick at the beginning of the year? I know I picked Walker Buehler. He was in the running for a time, and then obviously Scherzer kind of overtook everybody. Everybody else besides Burns. So I do think Burns is the NL Cy Young. I think he's the guy, I mean, for the team and then also the NL Cy Young, obviously. Right. But give him the award.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I probably picked Jacob DeGrom because I'm pretty chalk like that. And, DeGrom got hurt or else he probably can't go wrong there. It's like picking Trout for the AL MVP. But unfortunately, we had a year where both of those guys got hurt and Ronald Acuña Jr. Just a lot of tough injuries this year. But definitely think Burns, is your not only your Brewers Cy Young, but also your overall NL Cy Young. So some pretty easy choices there for MVP and Cy Young. Take another break and then we'll get into some other awards for the Brewers this year. Show is also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that. It's not just your chocolate chip fudge or cookies and cream. No, it's a bunch of different flavors from almond toffee to mint, coconut, peanut butter fudge, dark chocolate raspberry. There's a ton of really interesting, really cool flavors that you don't normally get in protein bars. Something that's going to give you a very unique taste, something that tastes good as well. And what I appreciate is they're not hard as a rock like a lot of the other protein bars out there. Has a soft middle, so it's very easy to chew and easy to get down. They're very good, they're very tasty, and they're great for you as well. Most of them only have about 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. So So whether you like to take them before a workout, after a workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, or whether they're just a snack for you like they are for me, you can eat them anytime. They're packed with protein. Again, not a lot of carbs involved. I can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. So go to BuiltBar.com today. Try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Again, just go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON15. All right, Vinny. So those first two were pretty easy. And I think these next ones are going to be fairly easy as well, but I can definitely see a little bit of debate with some of these. First one is the rookie of the year for the Brewers. For me, I took Jake Cousins just because kind of came out of nowhere, really kind of helped solidify that next tier of relievers in the back end of games. And, you know, I think more so just because it did kind of come out of nowhere. 2.70 ERA, a 1.17 whip, 44 strikeouts and 30 innings pitched. I thought Jake Cousins was really good, maybe tailed off a little bit later in the year. But again, I thought when the Brewers kind of needed, you know, another arm for the back end of games, I thought Cousins stepped up, did a really good job.
Who qualifies for the rookie of the year for, you know, I mean, does Tyrone Taylor?
Yeah, he's the other guy I had written down. So I had Cousins and Taylor written down as the two most likely candidates here. I mean, you want me to give you Taylor's numbers? I got Taylor's numbers written down. So like I said, I think it's between these two. Tyrone Taylor, 247, 321, 457 slash line with a 778 OPS, 12 home runs, 33 runs, 43 RBIs, 6 stolen bases, and 93 games played.
I mean, 43 RBIs in very few at-bats is pretty impressive for me. And I would, and as well as 12 home runs. So I'm going to go with Tyrone Taylor. I also would have gone Aaron Ashby ahead of Jake Cousins as well. Even though Ashby had limited innings and limited appearances, I thought he just pitched phenomenally well. I think he had like two, obviously his first outing and then his, was it his last one as well against the Dodgers?
Yeah. Last one was rough.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm going to go with Taylor. I mean, he came up with so many big home runs, so many big hits. He was such a staple in that lineup against good left-handed pitching. And then he also was really effective against right-handed pitching. His splits weren't that far off this year. I heard that he was talking to Colton Wong about keeping that front shoulder in against right-handed pitching. He was able to keep himself more locked in on that slider, use the whole field. I just think he had a phenomenal year. Like I said, bunch of really big home runs, 43 RBIs, pretty impressive for only, 200 at-bats, 200 yeah. plate appearances.
Yeah, no, I think about that one, Taylor probably is the call there just because, you know, the Brewers needed some help on offense, had some injuries there in the outfield, and Taylor stepped up. I mean, there were people even calling for him to be in the lineup over Christian Yelich in the postseason. So that's how much of an impact, you know, Taylor had this year. You mentioned Aaron Ashby, 4.55 ERA on the year. Again, that's not totally indicative of how good he was at times in the regular season. Had a couple of stinkers, you know, most notably his first one and his last one. He pitched in 13 games, started 4 of them, had a save, pitched 31 and 2/3 innings, had 39 strikeouts. So, and a 1.17 whip. So definitely good stuff from Ashby as well. I'll go ahead and tell you, Ashby's probably one of your early front runners for 2022 NL Rookie of the Year, not just for the Brewers, but overall. He'll definitely, you know, he'll be eligible for that award next year. So I think he'll definitely be in that mix to win it. Again, it's the overall Rookie of the Year in 2022. All right. Next up is the Breakout Player of the Year. Again, for me, this is an easy one. I really didn't write anybody else down, but Vinny, let me know if you have any other thoughts. But to me, it's Freddie Peralta. I mean, this is a guy coming into the year. You didn't know whether he's going to be in the bullpen or the rotation. You know, he's kind of been hot and cold throughout his career. This year, he solidified a spot in the rotation for the foreseeable future. A 2.81 ERA, a 0.97 whip, 195 strikeouts, and 144 in a third innings pitched. I mean, not only did he, you know, guarantee himself in the starting rotation for a long time, but he proved that he is a top of the rotation arm, just a guy that when he's on is unhittable. So he's definitely my breakout player of the year for the Brewers, Vinny.
there's a lot of guys that you could go with right here, especially a lot of guys on the pitching staff. But yeah, I mean, Freddie Peralta was unbelievable addition to the starting pitching staff. I mean, without Corbin Burns, I mean, you're getting votes for Freddie Peralta and a lot of them to win the Cy Young award. Right. So he was just absolutely phenomenal. The addition of the two other pitches that he kind of really kind of mastered, right. The slider and the changeup as well. And then also added in the curveball. So, I mean, those are the additions that he made, super consistent with his execution. This guy is only going to continue to get better as well. So, are we in 100% agreement besides the Jake Cousins pick, that bad Jake Cousins pick that you just picked for,
I think so. For
rookie of the year. Okay.
Yep.
Glad I got you to change your mind on that with the Tyrone Taylor, but right now, okay, we're 4-4. Sounds good.
I think he got me to flip there on Taylor just because, I mean, the bullpen was already pretty set. Cousins just had a couple of good months there. Taylor really made a huge impact offensively. So yeah, you changed my mind there. You did a good job. You sold it.
Appreciate it.
Next one, I think we're going to be on really these next two. I think we're going to be on the same page, but again, I think, like you said, with the breakout candidate, I think there were definitely some unsung heroes for this team in 2021. But I think for me, it's, you could kind of make the same argument here for why Jake Cousins might not be the rookie of the year, why Taylor was more valuable. You could probably make the same argument for Eric Lauer just because the rest of the rotation was so valuable. But still, I think he's the unsung hero when you think about where he was at the beginning of the year, didn't make the rotation out of spring training, looked terrible to start, you know, turned things around and really allowed this Brewers pitching staff, you know, to go to a six-man rotation and just have really quality outings every time they took the mound. He had a 3.19 ERA, a 1.14 whip, 117 strikeouts and 118.2 innings, you know, ends up being the game four starter for the Brewers in the postseason. You know, I know Vinny's mentioned probably should have been left out there a little bit longer, but for me, Vinny, I think Eric Lauer is the unsung hero of this team.
You know, it wasn't going in that direction because, you know what, he was that good that you wouldn't really necessarily think of him as kind of the under the radar unsung hero. But you're right. I mean, he really is an unsung hero. Like you said, I mean, he was awful last year. He had some injury stuff, never really got it going. Didn't really take to the new mechanics with that longer arm action. Everyone was still skeptical once he did start taking them out. I mean, he was just okay. Up until about, you know, June 7th, I think is the date, or June 9th, that he pitched against the Detroit Tigers, gave up 7 runs at AmFam Field. And then from there, he just took off. I think he really implemented the fastball cutter combination really well. And he added to that cutter a little bit and gave it a little bit more shape and a little bit more break, called that one the slider. So all three of those pitches really blended. And was really deceptive, really, in terms of hitters couldn't see this guy. And he has the stuff. He's 93, 96 at times. I saw him up to 96 this year. Pitches at about 92, 93, though. And but, yeah, I mean, he was that good all year long. I wouldn't really necessarily consider him as an unsung hero, but you're right. I mean, he was. I was considering more of the Brad Boxberger and Jace Peterson type of guy. For unsung hero, but it's Eric Lauer, 100%. This guy was third in the league in ERA since that date, and he was also 14th overall in the league in ERA. 14th. That's pretty good, considering there's 150 starters in the big leagues that qualify for that. So crazy good year by Eric Lauer, and again, another guy that's going to continue to perform, continue to get better. They have a really good pitching staff for a few more years here to come, which is going to extend their window, and he's part of it.
Yeah, I think Brad Boxberger is a good call there. I didn't really think about that one, but again, when I think about an unsung hero, somebody that you weren't expecting much out of coming into the year and somebody that, you know, just steps up and performs above and beyond what you were expecting, that's certainly the case for Brad Boxberger, and the Brewers definitely needed it. I mean, the bullpen back end was a little shaky to begin the year. You know, Devin Williams wasn't quite himself early on, Boxberger was great throughout. So I think that's definitely a good call as well. I think if you wanted to, you know, mention somebody offensively, I know you mentioned Jace Peterson, but it'd probably for me have to be Luis Urias, just for the fact that I didn't really love him coming into the year. I thought he was kind of handed that shortstop job without really earning it. And then he lost it like immediately. And then he doesn't let that get to him, you know, moves to a bench role. And then, you know, have all the injuries with Shaw and Vogelbach. And then he's inserted back into a starting role and really just took off from there. Ends up hitting 249 with a 789 OPS, the second on the team in home runs with 23 RBI. So, I mean, he did a really good job. I thought he was really good in the postseason as well, getting on base, made some really good plays defensively in that game four as well. So, I mean, I think if you had to pick somebody from that side, Vinny, I think Luis Urias could be the guy for me. Again, just in the way that I viewed this award as somebody I wasn't expecting to get much out of and who actually performed above what I thought he was going to be in Luis Urias.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to use that criteria, you could also say Omar Narvaez in terms of, you know, not expecting much from him. But maybe you could argue that a lot of people were expecting a lot from Omar Narvaez in terms of erasing 2020 and then getting a bounce back year from him. So maybe he doesn't necessarily qualify for that unsung hero. Yeah, I mean, I'd go with Urias. I mean, again, I mean, I got to be honest. I'll be completely honest. I wasn't a fan coming into the season. I didn't think he could play just flat out. I thought he was an extra guy, utility guy. But, man, this guy proved me wrong. I mean, I do think Andy Haynes really helped him. I think a couple of adjustments that he made in terms of his setup and also in terms of his his load phase and his stride phase in the swing. I mean, those couple of tweaks, which are not easy to fix, he was able to get buy-in and trust from Andy Haynes and fix those. And all of a sudden, he started pulling the ball in the air, became a power threat. He always had that ability to discern the strike from ball. So he did a really good job of getting on base and having good quality at-bats. Pretty consistently did that all year long. The defense was a little bit shaky at times. We saw that, especially at shortstop. But, yeah, I mean, he really kind of settled in at third base defensively and kind of overcame some of the throwing issues. Still kind of see it lingering there a little bit at times. But he was able to kind of, you know, maybe put a Band-Aid on it or something, or, you know, continue to throws the ball on the run a lot from third base, which I think helps him with the throwing instead of setting his feet, thinking a little bit too much. So, he's able to kind of overcome some of those things, and he put together a really, really strong year, a really valuable year for the offense. So, I mean, yeah, I do agree with the Luis Urias pick as well.
Yeah, the only reason I didn't put Omar Narvaez on here, and I thought about putting him on here, you know, for a couple of awards, you know, I think you could do it for the breakout or the unsung, but he had an 800-plus OPS season for the Mariners, so we kind of had seen it from him before. But, yeah, I mean, I get it in terms of, you know, maybe he'd be a good bounce back award candidate. I didn't have that on here, but just, you know, coming off a tough 2020 season, Narvaez was definitely great for the Brewers this year. All right, then the last one on here, if we don't agree on this one, then I don't know what to say, but reliever of the year for the Brewers has to be Josh Hader, a 1.23 ERA, a 0.84 whip, 34 saves and 35 opportunities, 102 strikeouts and 58.2 innings in 60 games. I mean, unbelievable year, maybe his best year yet. Josh Hader was absolutely dominant. I mean, you hated the way that the season ended for him, but you can't ignore the fact that he was, you know, by far the best reliever in all of baseball in 2021, Benny.
I mean, the guy continued to get better, and he added a couple new pitches. I mean, he's had that slider, and he's kind of upped the usage of the slider the last couple of years. But he's added the changeup as well. I think he's gotten more comfortable even throwing that slider for strikes and knowing when hitters are really, really cheap for that fastball, that he drops in that slider, which is more crazy, more alarming that Freddie Freeman did hit that one out. Gave up another home run to Jose Peraza, who absolutely stinks, I think, and earlier in the year. And that's the only other blown – well, he didn't even blow that save in the playoffs, but only blown save of the year And it was just kind of an anomaly, complete anomaly. I think Peraza closed his eyes, swung, and hit that home run to tie the game for the Mets back in May. But point I'm making is the dude is really valuable. The dude, in my opinion, you need him to win the World Series. And the Brewers will have a chance to win the World Series here in the next couple of years, I think, with that pitching staff. So I know that there's going to be some trade speculation coming up, and we'll probably get into that in future episodes. I just wanted to bring it up now. I know he was involved in some trade talks earlier. I think you need him to win the World Series. That's how valuable he is. So obviously it's going to take an enormous package to land him, but I agree. Reliever of the year, without a doubt, hands down. Got to keep him. Don't trade him, Stearns. I know you're listening to this. So,
Vinny getting out in front of the offseason talk already. Yeah, well, that'll definitely be something to talk about. Maybe we'll flip the script and go talk about an extension. How about that? I think that may be the better move to go with Josh Hader. But, an unbelievable season. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers now. It is his best season of his career. Just crazy numbers when you look at them. But that's our
end. He didn't give up homers. Homers this year is the difference, right? Everyone started adjusting to him and started cheating for that heater. And so they hit a bunch of home runs in 19 against them. And then he was able to add the other two pitches, which kept hitters off balance and made that fastball even more effective.
Yeah, that changeup that he started utilizing a lot more was really effective. But yeah, great point. A 0.46 home runs per nine. That's obviously his season high. His next lowest was his rookie year was 0.76, but that was kind of a short sample size. His next lowest was in 2018, which was his next best season. He had a home run per nine of 1.00. So 0.46 home runs per nine is just absurd. So great point from Vinny, who made some great points throughout all this podcast. So make sure that you bookmark this one. But great stuff from Vinny. Really enjoyed doing this podcast with you, going over our end of the season awards. Let us know on Twitter. Hit us up at Lockdown Brewers. Hit up me at Shortstop Ball and Vinny at Vinny Rotino if you agree. If you disagree with some of these awards, would love to take those conversations off air there. But that will do it for this episode. Make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Lockdown Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast, and we will talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.